today's episode of SiennaCast. I'm Jemima Walsh and I'm the head of Senior Pathways. It is my absolute privilege to have with me two of our incredibly high achieving students from the class of 23. So today I have with me Isabel Lando, who achieved an astonishing score, and she's going to talk to us about what she did to get there. And our Ducks proxime, Ali Geraghty, who did such a good job, worked incredibly hard all the way through. So I'm really looking forward to hearing from Ali and from Isabel just some of the keys to their success in their Year 12 year. So I'm going to hand over. I'm going to start first of all, and I'm going to ask both of you, I think, to share that wisdom. You started Year 12. It's the start of 23. Actually, it's the end of 2022, and it's Head Start. What did you both do to get organised? So, Isabel, how did you set yourself up to be organised for Year 12?
Yeah, so one thing is obviously you have quite a long break between Year 11 Head Start and the start of Year 12. So I think I definitely spent some time like relaxing, taking it easy, you know, catching up with friends and family, but also making like the use of free time. So one thing is obviously you like kind of in Head Start, they give you a rough idea of when your SACs are going to be and your assessments and stuff. So I made like above my desk, I had like a whiteboard and I had like all the dates of all the SACs, all the assessments. Obviously they're not exact, but a rough idea. And that kind of allowed me just to kind of view the year. And it can be a bit overwhelming at first, but I think if you break it down, like it's not like break down into the terms, into the months, into the weeks, it's a bit easier. And also, like making sure I completed all my holiday homework going into it. And also, one thing I realized by doing the calendar is that I had quite a few SACs like in the first 3 weeks of Year 12. So I think getting ahead a little bit. So like, for example, for health, part of our holiday homework was to make cue cards. So I started going over those cue cards prior to the actual year starting. So I think that really helped me.
Fantastic. Thank you. And I could see, Ali, that you were nodding there. As I could really see Isabel talking about planning, about knowing what's happening ahead, about breaking it down. What are some of the things that you did when you started off to get yourself in a really good place for that success in 2023?
Well, I remember we did have a lot of holiday homework, especially for health. So a lot of my holidays doing that, and also a lot of maths homework. So yeah, just trying to get all of that done so I could start the year in a good place. And then yeah, also just being really organized and knowing when things were, using a calendar. And yeah,
fantastic. So really, yeah, having things in place. Could you tell us both about what you're doing now? I understand you've both got fantastic offers. You've taken them up for incredible courses. So, Isabel, what are you doing?
Yeah, so I'll be studying at Deakin University, doing a double degree of law and commerce. So, yeah, it's a 5-year course. So I'll just see how it goes and I'll see what I'll do afterwards. But, yeah, looking forward to it.
And I remember you sort of talking about, you thought, I know I've got to get a particular ATAR. Mm-hmm. Will I quite get there? How did you go?
Yeah.
Did you have that goal from the beginning?
Yeah, so, well, I definitely did have a goal in Year 12. My main goal was to honestly just enjoy the year and, like, look back and think, like, I'm really proud of myself. I put in all the effort. I put in all the hard work. In saying that, though, I did definitely have kind of a numerical goal. My course needed about a 91. So that was, like, I knew I wanted to get that so I could get into the course I wanted to do. But, yeah, I didn't have an exact goal. It was more just, like, getting to my course, which, yeah.
Fantastic. And you did that really, really well. Ali, what are you up to now? And is what you're doing now what you'd set out to do when you started Year 12, or did that change a bit?
Yeah, I'm doing biomedicine at Melbourne Uni, which I think I decided on in, like, Year 10, 11. That was something that I always wanted to do because I always like biology, and I think I want to go into medicine after. So I'd heard of other people doing that and sort of just like set my mind to that, which was, I needed a 95 ATAR for that, which I thought that I probably would get, and also with C's. But yeah, I was just hoping for a 95. So I was really surprised.
That's a fantastic thing. It's a really important thing. So having those goals there, so you set your mind really early. And Isabel, you set your mind there too. Mm-hmm. But sometimes in Year 12, things don't always go as planned. Sometimes the SAC score isn't as it is. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, COVID or a cold or something can happen at the right time. So could I ask both of you to talk me through maybe some of the struggles that Year 12s might expect some of the ones that you faced and how you got through that. Ellie, did you have any tough times in Year 12 that you had to work your way through and what helped you?
Yeah, I remember there was one ChemSAC, for example, because my expectations for Chem the whole year were like really high. So I was really disappointed when I didn't get a score I wanted. So that was hard, but I kind of just had to like bounce back from that and not focus on it. I also remember there was one week where I had a few sacks and a method sack, which I was really stressed about because I felt like I didn't know anything. So yeah, that was stressful, but I kind of just had to like take a few minutes, breathe, not get too worked up about it. And I got through it and I did better than I thought I would. So
it's fantastic. So I think that really good advice to stop, breathe, pause and keep going. So, you know, Ellie, if you had to give advice to a Year 12 student who might be facing that, hang on, I'm not quite ready, what would you tell them?
Yeah, I definitely felt like that a few times throughout the year. I think you just need to keep things in perspective and know that, like, you're going to have to do the SAC and you're going to have to get through those things that seem really hard, but you're also going to get through that and it's going to be okay. Yeah, I think being organized is really important so you don't get too stressed about everything. And just, yeah, coming to terms with knowing that you will have to do these things, but you'll get through.
So it really is that positive mindset and accepting challenges and going, I'm just going to get there. Isabel, you always look like you had it under control, working hard, and I think always smiling all the way through your Year 12.
Yeah.
Was that always the case? Were there some times when
no.
you had a struggle?
Yes.
And maybe what's something you learned from that and some advice for students
yeah.
who might face the same difficulty?
So my range of subjects in Year 12 were very, like, content-based.
Yeah, can you talk us through what you did, actually?
Yeah, so I did accelerated psychology in Year 11, and then in Year 12 I did English, general maths, health and human development, business management and legal studies.
Excellent.
And so one thing I knew going into Year 12 was it was going to be a lot of content, and I found with that a lot of, like, 95% of the time I had sacks, I was having like 3 to 4 sacks a week. I'd never really had like just a math sack or anything. I was always having like sack after sack after sack. So I think it kind of comes down to organization again. You just have to, I remember my mum used to always say, like, the preparation is in the week before. And also self-discipline and motivation, which can be hard at times, but I think you have to kind of find like your why, like why do you want to keep going and stuff. And also just knowing, like, at the end of it, you're going to have such a nice long break and it's going to be so, so worth it when all your hard work pays off. But I think one thing is just taking it like week by week. Like, it can be overwhelming, like, oh, I have 3 sacks next week, but kind of just focus on this week. Like, if I was having a week where I had a lot of sacks the week before, I'd try and find some free time. And even if it was just like briefly going over like health definitions or something like that, I think that really helped. And just preparing as early as you can, which I think also helps me with the exams as well, because when it came time to exams, I think a lot of, because I was having sack after sack after sack, it was not so much of a big jump going into like the exam period. But yeah,
so that was really good advice. Ellie, you studied a really different range of subjects.
Yeah,
can you talk us through what you studied? And I think there's going to be pretty heavy workload there. So perhaps after you tell us the subjects you did, how you just kept that momentum and that motivation going.
Yeah, I did biology in year 11 as a 3-4, which I really enjoyed. And I did quite well in that, which was good to have that confidence. And then year 12, I did English, methods, French, health, which I picked up that year, so I hadn't done it before. Did I say chemistry? I think that's that's 6.
Yeah. And so what, because sometimes students will think about changing into a subject in year 12, what would be your advice to a student like that? Because sometimes their confidence can suffer a bit. How did you sort of really get yourself up and working so well in health?
I don't know. I chose it because I had a few friends who had done it the year before, so I'd seen that how they'd done it and thought that it might be, you know, interesting. It was definitely different to all my other like science, maths subjects, and at times I didn't really like it. It wasn't like the most interesting. But yeah, I think, like, if you're thinking about changing subjects, looking at like past exams and the study design is really helpful, because I was choosing between like psychology, health and human.
And so you looked at the exam and sort of said, right, what are they looking for, and how will I apply myself to that? I love the broad range of subjects that the two students sitting in front of me, past students, have. Sometimes students will agonise a little bit over subject selection, and they'll think, I have to choose a subject because it's going to be scaled up to this, or I don't really like that one, but I think I have to do that. What's your advice to students when they choose their subjects? Is it a good idea to choose the thing you love and the things that you're interested in?
Yeah, so all my subjects are known to be like scaled down, none of them scaled up, which was something I was aware of going in. But as I said in my speech, like, I chose them because I genuinely was interested in them and like found them. I did them all in year 11. I didn't pick up anything. And I really enjoyed them in year 11. So I just continued on. I didn't really think about scaling at all, because I just, like, everyone told me if you do well enough, won't scale, or they'll scale very minimally. So yeah, I just think choose the subjects you love. Also consider prerequisites and stuff for uni, because that is important. Like, I knew that I didn't need methods for any of the courses I was interested in, so I didn't choose that. But I think, yeah, just don't base it off scaling. Base it off what you are interested in. Yeah.
Fantastic. That's a great answer. And Ali, you had some prerequisites to deal with.
Yeah.
How did you make your choices?
Well, I know my subjects are like the typical high scaling sort of subjects, but they were subjects that I really enjoyed. Like, I'm a science, maths kind of person. So that was lucky that a lot of the subjects I did scale quite a bit. But yeah, I think it's really important to choose subjects that you'll actually enjoy doing. I know methods for a lot of people is a prerequisite. And like, a lot of people in my methods class really didn't want to be there. They were just doing it because they had to, which is annoying. So I think if you have a choice, choose subjects that you'll want to go to class and want to study for and want to do homework for.
Absolutely. It's easier to put that time in when you know it's something that you can enjoy. Lots of you throughout the year, I remember correcting English practice essays. Both of you were really fantastic in doing a lot of them. And sometimes you get feedback on essays. Here's what people need you to work on. How did you go in when you got feedback back about a SAC? How did you act on it? How did you sort of say, okay, I'm going to improve that bit? So what did you do, Isabel? Isabel, I know you've got a lot of feedback and you then apply it. So how did you do that?
So something I found is every time I did a practice SAC or practice exam or essay or whatever it was, obviously handed in, get feedback, I'd take it home and I'd have a good read through it, made sure like I understood it all. If I didn't, I would go back to my teacher and clarify it, just ask, oh, what does this mean? Like, what do I have to do to improve? And then actually acting on that feedback, not just letting it sit there and be like, oh, next time I do that health question, I'll include this. Like, I would actually go and redo the question and hand it in again until I got, like, sometimes it was good, sometimes I needed to add something else. Just keep going until I was able to get full marks. And that helped me realize in the exam, like, I came across a few questions. I was like, oh, I remember doing this during revision, I have to include this. And I think if you're actually acting on the feedback, you're more likely to use it during the exam rather than just letting it sit on your desk and be like, oh, I'll do this next time or something like that.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's really about taking action straight away.
Yeah.
You know, there's no better moment than now to take that up. Ali, what did you do to sort of, you know, keep that continual improvement? What worked for you with feedback and seeking advice and help? How did that work?
I feel like I'm not the greatest person at following feedback, especially for English. A lot of the time teachers would write things and I didn't understand why that was the case and why that would make it better. So then I just kind of question teachers, get them to explain what that actually means, and try to just understand what they were saying more. Yeah, and with there's a lot of subjects, especially weird VCAR rules that you just have to follow. So I'd read things and think, why? Like, that doesn't make sense to me. Why should I have to do that? And just understanding why that feedback is there. And
so I really like, Ali, that you showed that persistence, because that can be frustrating when you think, you know, I know how to do this, but then sort of taking that advice, but asking to explain until it made sense. So I think from what I can see in both of you, so much of that success is that persistence.
Yeah.
And really sort of that sense of going, I'm taking control here and I'm going to ask. Now, you don't ever get through year 12 by yourself, I think. So I want you to think both about who helped and supported you. So Isabel, it was lovely to hear you mention your little brother in your terrific speech to our entire college assembly today. Who was your main supporter? Who were your main supports getting through this year?
So definitely my family, my parents, and then my younger brother. They would listen to my endless rants about year 12 and I'd come home, I'd be unhappy with the sack. They'd remind me that it's okay, it's just one out of however many. And just keep pushing me through, always, like, they're always there to listen to me and reminding me that, like, at the end of the day, they're still going to be proud of me no matter what happens. And then, obviously, my friends, all my friends, but especially, like, my closest friends, they kind of were aware that I was, you know, aiming high and stuff, and so they were always very supportive. And if I needed to have, I mean, I didn't really take many, but if I ever needed to have, like, a lunchtime off before a sack or something, they were always really supportive of that. And then definitely my subject teachers, they were also a very big one. They marked a lot of practice exams, a lot of practice questions, and always just, even just after class, having a chat, whether it was like work related or like if I needed to clarify something, or even just to ask, oh, how are you going? How are you feeling? So definitely they were my biggest supporters.
So that's great to hear, you know, that real notion that people checking in on you and maintaining that sense of community. That was really, really important to you. I really like the way you spoke to surrounding yourself with good people mm-hmm. who support your aims, support what you want to go to, and I think that's really successful. Ellie, who do you think helped you out the most? Who were your supports?
I think definitely my mum was really helpful, especially when I was really stressed and, like, didn't think I could do something. She was always really supportive and helped me through. And also friends who were in the same situation, going into the same sacks, and just, surrounding yourself with people who support you and make you happy. I also had an English tutor who was amazing. He helped me a lot, which, that was really good. And I was really lucky to have that experience and find someone who could really support me.
And so, and was that hard to look around and find someone who really got you as a writer and could help you work through that, or once you were there, how did he help you the most?
I did actually try one tutor who really did not work. I don't think he really knew much about VCE. I don't know where my mum found him, but but then this other tutor, instantly we kind of just clicked and it was really good. Extra level of support.
Support there, fantastic. Now, we've spoken about stressful sacks, we've spoken about workload, but there's a lot of good things that happen in year 12 too, and I always hope that year 12 is going to be one of the best years of a student's life. Can you both think about some of those fantastic favourite moments of year 12, those highlights that maybe in 20 years' time you'll still be remembering? So I can see you smiling. I think you've probably got a couple. Ellie, have you got any big favourite moments that you're going to remember forever?
Yeah, there's so many that it's hard to pick specific things, but I just remember all those times we, like, banded together as a year level, and just that sense of community, and all the times in the common room, and even just coming in the morning and seeing all your friends sitting at the table and just, like, having a place to go and speak about what happened on the weekend. I also have a video on my phone of our whole year level singing the song that we did at assembly, just in the common room, all standing up, singing, what was it?
Slipping through my fingers.
Yeah, which was such an amazing feeling, just being there all together.
So it really is that connection and community, and I think the common room, it's such a great thing for year 12s to have. Yeah. You were smiling a lot too when I mentioned the word favourite moment.
Yeah.
So what have you got for us?
Yeah, there's obviously a lot. Probably, I mean, it's hard to choose. I loved the year 12 retreat. When we opened, I think they're called, like, the palunkas. It was little, like, notes from, we had some from teachers, our parents, and just, like, our friends. And there was also people that, like, you might not be friends with them, but you might have a class with them and they would write you a note. And it was really cute. I really liked that. And also, obviously, Fiesta was a big one, like your final year 12 dance. And definitely like the last few weeks of classes and like when we had all like the graduation kind of celebrations. And I think like me and my friends just kind of realized like, this is it. Like we don't really have this, you can't go back. And so we were all just like taking the, like in making the most of every single moment. I think that was really good.
Yeah. But, and yeah. I think that's really good advice. I think to all year 12s that it goes really quickly.
Yeah, definitely.
So take the opportunity, definitely. Get involved, be part of it, because they are fantastic events. Now, life outside of school can be pretty busy too. Sometimes people will have jobs and there's a social life and there's family commitments. And you've also really set your goals high and you need to work. So what are some tips that you might give year 12s about how you balance all of those school commitments, but also the things that you need to do outside to have a balanced life? So Isabel, how did you manage that balance?
Yeah, so I had quite a busy year 12. I worked a part-time job every week and also I have like a massive family. So I was constantly having like cousins' birthdays, everything like that. I tried at the start of year 12, I tried to do a timetable. I found that it didn't really work for me because I'm the type of person who I would say like from 6 to 7, I'm going to do an English essay, whatever. But by the time I got to 7, if I was still going, I'm not the type of person to kind of put something down if I'm halfway through it. So I did this about halfway through the year and I found it really helped me. I would do more like to-do lists, kind of like checklists, and write everything I had to do, but then highlight everything in order of like importance. Like if I had a math sack in 2 days' time, that would be like high priority, whereas my business questions due next week can kind of wait, you know? So I found like that was good. And just, yeah, making sure you're aware of everything that you need to get done, but also taking the time to balance everything. Like I think working like a part-time job during year 12 helped me just to have a bit of a break and like see my work friends and stuff. But yeah, definitely like to-do lists and checklists really helped me.
I really liked to hear you talk about starting off trying something with the timetable and going, actually no, I've got to work with my strengths.
Yeah.
And I think that's really good advice for year 12s, that you keep working through what is going to work best for you. So that's a really good thing to hear. Ali, you're a pretty busy person. How did you manage everything in year 12?
I am actually not really a busy person. I did have a job in year 11, which I stopped in year 12 because it just took up a lot of time and was very draining, and I didn't see myself being able to balance that and school. I also didn't have any like extracurricular activities, which I feel like if you have something that you really like to do, I would recommend like keep doing that, because I didn't really have any passions or things that I did outside of school, which for me was okay. But yeah, I think it is important to have a break. I didn't really have anything that could give me a break from school, apart from like parties with friends and 18ths, which there were quite a few through year 12, which was really good. Even though that was sometimes hard to balance, I had to skip a friend's party because I was just really stressed. But yeah, I felt like a lot of my year was just school, work and study the whole way through the year, which is probably not the best. I think there are more worthwhile ways to spend year 12.
Well, are you thinking as you're moving into uni too, are you thinking you're looking for some different opportunities to have a little bit more balance, looking for some opportunities at uni? What are you looking forward to there?
Yeah, well, there's lots of clubs and things. I actually used to play violin, so there's a few orchestras, which maybe I might, yeah. But there's so many different opportunities that it seems kind of hard that you could do all the things that you want to do while studying and doing like lots of courses and subjects and so there's a lot, but
Well, I really encourage you, Ali, take the opportunity to because universities, you often have a chance to discover talents or try things that you've never tried before. So just want to ask you a couple of last things. I want to take you back to at the end of the year. It's about December. Those results come through, oh my goodness, you open up a phone, you get a call from the school saying, congratulations, you are the Ducks Proximate and you are the Ducks. What was that like? Did you expect that? What happened when you found out?
So obviously the results come out quite early. So I set my alarm. I woke up early. I opened it, and when I saw my results, I was honestly so shocked. I didn't think I knew I would do well, but I didn't think I would do that well. And my parents wanted to be in the room with me, but I locked myself in my room. I just wanted to be alone, like, you know. And then I came out, and I think I was so shocked. My parents, like, honestly thought, like, they thought the opposite. They thought I didn't do as well as I had, like, hoped for. And they were like, Tommy, it's okay. Like, you can always get there. And I was just so shocked. And I just, like, turned the laptop around, and my mom just started crying. And I was like, Mom, it's okay. And then a couple hours later, my mom got a call from Miss Hanny. And then she didn't tell my mom. She's like, oh, is Isabel around? And then she was just like, you know, general chat, congratulations. And then she's like, oh, I've got some more good news for you. And I was actually in so much shock. I actually didn't believe it. Like, it took me a couple hours to actually, like, sink in, like, oh my God, like, I'm actually the Ducks. Like, it didn't really feel real. But yeah, I was just so shocked. I did not expect it at all. Yeah.
So shocked. Yeah, we just, and your mum just spoke to me about 15 minutes of just trying to say, it's going to be okay. Ellie, what was that day like for you?
Yeah, it was. So I remember I woke up, results, like, the email had already come out, and I was still in bed. I saw the notification and just didn't want to look at it. So eventually I pulled up my computer. My eyes were still, like, blurry from being asleep. But I opened the email and I was like, oh, there's a few, like, 40s in there. I guess that's okay. So then I went downstairs and was like, oh, may as well open my ATAR. And yeah, I was really surprised. Especially my score for English, I was hoping for like a 35. So that was the most shocking thing for me. And I almost didn't believe it. And yeah, opening my ATAR was really shocking, but amazing. Yeah, I didn't believe it for ages.
So you had to deal with that. And I will say, Ali, I remember reading a few of your practice essays, particularly the, and I very much enjoyed reading them, so I'm not surprised at all. Now, I'm going to ask you one thing to think about, and I'm going to ask you another question. So the one thing I want you to think about is, thinking about the subjects that you studied, one absolute best tip that you'd give a student doing, like one tip or trick that you might have used. So that's the one to think about. But I want you to tell me, looking forward into uni and after uni, what are the hopes, what are the plans? Is there travel? Is there an internship? Is there a career? So you're thinking about a tip or trick, but you're also going to tell me a little bit more about where the things look for you in the future. So Isabel, tell me about, you know, where do you think you're
going? Yeah, so as I said, I'll be studying Bachelor of Law and Commerce. So it's a 5-year course, so it is kind of long. I don't really know what I want to do afterwards. I'm just going to see how the course goes, see, you know. Obviously, it's a double degree, so it opens up, like, double the amount of opportunities, which is something I really liked. And I think law and commerce go, like, hand in hand. So, yeah, I definitely do want to travel as well. I don't think I'll take a gap year or anything. I think I'll do it after. But, yeah, I definitely do want to go traveling, like, around Europe and, like, a few more countries. But yeah, I'm not really sure. I don't know if I want to be a lawyer yet. I'll just see how it goes, the course. But yeah, definitely work, like, in the law field and something like that. Yeah.
Fantastic, thank you. So things to look forward to. And Ellie, you've sort of spoken about biomedicine and then that hope to get through to medicine. Yeah. You hoping to do some travel. I know that your university has some really fantastic opportunities overseas. How does that look for you?
I think I might look at an exchange to London or somewhere. That would be really nice. And yeah, hopefully medicine after that, unless I find another thing that I'm really passionate about. Yeah, I think I want to go into pediatrics or something like that.
Yeah, so you've got that clear pathway ahead, and a really significant commitment. So I'm going to finish up here, but one thing I'd really love for you to do towards the end of the year, just as students are getting ready to get, you know, into their exams, we love hearing from past students. Mm-hmm. We love you coming in. So real invitation to you and to any of the Oceana class of 2023. Please come back and share your wisdom. Now, I asked you to think about one tip or trick, and it can be any subject.
Yep.
One secret, Have you got something for us, Isabel?
I think something that, I mean, it worked well with my subject, and I think it can work with all subjects, is when you're doing practice questions and practice answers or anything like that, definitely look through, I mean, for VCAR, like the VCAR exam reports and just like any answer guides there is. I think that can help with, you know, obviously knowing you're on the right track, but also with structure. As I said, a lot of my subjects were content. So for example, for like business and legal, sometimes I struggled for like the 6-8 markers, how to actually structure them, and looking through like a past one, it might not have got full marks, but it would have got high. And I think that allows you to kind of say like, oh, that's where that goes, the paragraphing, and definitely, yeah, looking at the exam reports, because VCAR kind of give tips and tricks as to what they're looking for. Like, I know for health, for like some certain definitions, you had to include, like, you can have the whole definition right. If you didn't include a specific word, like, you don't get the mark. So just definitely looking for things like that, because that's like easy marks that you can get if you're looking
fantastic. So it's, yeah, making sure the VCAR inside knowledge, yeah, isn't just inside, yeah, knowledge. You, yeah, really know what they're looking,
yeah,
for. Yeah. And you mentioned the fact that, you know, you might know everything there is, yeah, to know about that topic, but how you structure,
yeah,
it,
exactly,
is going to be so crucial.
Exactly.
Ali, what's a tip or trick that you can think about for any of your subjects?
This is not subject specific. It's more just like motivation to study. But my biggest tip was, there's this app called Forest where you basically, it's like a timer and it stops you from going on your phone, and it's also, you can time how long you're studying for, and while you grow trees on this little app, which was so motivating for me just to see like the amount of time, which was like a visual achievement, and also you earn coins so you can grow different trees, which was very motivating. So
yeah, that's excellent. Yeah. And so that really tangible reminder,
yeah,
you could see the work that you were putting in, and it also, it stopped you thinking about what else might be happening out there in the world. So that is a really fantastic piece of advice. I'm going to finish up here. I wish you both absolute the very best. It's going to be terrific.
Thank you.
With that university pathway ahead of you, and I think you start in perhaps a week or so.
Yeah.
It's all the very best. And thank you so much for sharing your wisdom. It's been terrific to talk to you. And I know that our students of 2024, so many gems that they can take from your experiences. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much, Ali.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Stay tuned for the next episode of Siena Cast. Thanks, everybody.